out in the garden, get you ripe when don't get a heart. When you plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a bit.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm with lots and lots of colorful dahlias for summer bouquets, including subscriptions for never-ending color. Bedding plant season has come to an end, but there's still color abound at the Flower Farm. Open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
And that's for sure, but it's nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. With me on the line from Stormy Juno, Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hi, Mindy.
Hi. Thanks for joining us today. You had some thunderstorms there last night, huh?
We did. It was great and highly entertaining. So it doesn't happen, it's probably 4 or 5 years since our last time around. So we enjoyed it.
Great. Well, I didn't hear about the thunderstorms here last night. If we had some, I slept through them. And I haven't heard if anybody else had any here, but heard any here, but yeah. So it was just pouring down rain.
Yeah, even in Juneau, it was kind of isolated. It was more out the road. I talked to folks in town and even the valley that didn't have much. So it was nice. It lasted maybe a half hour and half a dozen flashbangs. The air smelled so fresh.
Sure.
Afterwards. And then the rain came down buckets and wheelbarrows. We got probably an inch of rain, and it had been hot and dry here for a few days, so we were ready for it and knocked the dust down. And today the fire danger is low again.
That's good. I want to remind folks that this is a call-in gardening program, and if you'd like to ask Ed a question on the air, dial 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. So how's your garden looking this time of the year now, Ed?
Well, it's spectacular, and of course the best part is probably because last Saturday was we had the garden tours. And with my garden being on the tour, we got it into the best shape as much effort as we put into it. So it really looks good at this point and growing like crazy, and I've even got new... The potatoes that I planted, June 8th, are already, they're big enough that did the first hilling and they're just about ready for the second hilling.
Uh-huh.
So the succession cropping is going well. Ate our first broccoli this past week or weekend, and I got to pick lots more of that. So I started more of that. I've got more lettuce started. It is going so well. Beautiful. Lots and lots of tomatoes in the greenhouse are looking good. Cucumbers aren't quite to blooming since I put them in late, but that's okay. They'll get there. They should be blooming probably starting next week. Same thing with squash too.
Speaking of cucumbers, for folks who have cucumbers in their greenhouses, or maybe they have them under cover somewhere where you can really hold in the heat to grow a cucumber, what's the care for those right now?
Well, I've got mine there. Of course, my greenhouse has beds in the greenhouse, 3 feet wide by a foot deep, and they're, 30 feet long. So they're growing through this green plastic mulch, and I've got strings hanging down from the rafters to tie them up on. Again, keeping them up off the ground is important for good air circulation. And I just gradually twine them around the strings and up they go. And occasionally, every now and then, I'll put the tendril through a loop and it'll grab a hold that way too. So, and I'm also pinching, kind of like we do with tomatoes, but I also prune the cucumbers somewhat too, because they will, if allowed, will send out side shoots pretty much at every leaf, just like the tomatoes do, which, you know, we prune a lot of those away to push more of the energy upright and into, you know, fewer flower clusters and not so much vegetation. And that helps, again, that helps in the making more fruit or getting the fruit we have to ripen. But again, it helps to allow more ventilation between plants. And I've got, each year I learn it's hard to do this in the spring when you're just planting them, but I'm trying to plant them and give them more room. Now, if I had, I suppose it'd be easier if I had them in containers, then I could just move the containers apart. But being in that bed allows me basically a little more freedom. I don't have to water them every day, which certainly I have had to do in the past in containers once those plants get really large. And the greenhouse is open. I mean, the doors are open. So yesterday I checked. It was warm and sunny yesterday. And so it had a low in the morning of 55 degrees inside, and it hit 100 degrees inside the greenhouse mid-afternoon or so. Then, of course, it calmed down considerably today. I doubt that it reached 70 degrees with our cool, cloudy weather. But that ventilation, I mean, we keep stressing it over and over again. It's hard to have too much ventilation in a greenhouse.
What about your tomatoes? How is that going? And should we be starting to prune the shoots coming off the tomatoes? And what do you think about that for fruit ripening?
Absolutely. I've been pruning those since I planted them. I mean, some of them were almost a foot tall when they went into the soil in the greenhouse. And even at that time, for the indeterminate varieties, those varieties which will grow and grow and grow as long as the weather allows them to, and my Sun Gold, which is the tall one, the indeterminate one I grow, that one certainly gets to be 8 feet tall by September, October, and then when I finally start clipping off the top flower buds. So those definitely need this pruning. If you've got them spaced, if the gardener has them spaced out enough, you can possibly leave one extra shoot on a tomato plant. And then, again, if you're doing strings like I do, then you have one string maybe straight up and one string off at an angle to tie them or clip them to. But that's enough. And then I've got determinate varieties, Tumbler and Polar Baby and Beaver Lodge Plum. So those will only grow to be 3 feet tall, and that's all. But they will have multiple shoots like the other one, which we could prune them all, prune many of those out. But the problem with that is they only get so big, so they won't continuously keep making more flower buds. So you do want to leave multiple shoots, 4, 5, 6 shoots perhaps. And for those, I usually use cages rather than the strings that I do for the indeterminate varieties. And then, of course, then you got to dig in. It's a little more difficult sometimes to find the tomatoes. Hopefully, when they turn bright red, they're easier to spot.
Ed, I have to ask you a question about growing tomatoes from seed, and I don't know where if it was on Pinterest or some sort of website. What do you think? This guy says that he can take a tomato and cut it in half or in a couple pieces and then let them sit out for a couple of days and then plant those. And he gets good tomatoes every time, and then he thins them out. What do you think about that for next year?
Some strange stuff on some of those. I mean, certainly you can save your own seeds from the tomatoes. Uh-huh. That certainly works. If you're going to do that, you want to choose varieties that are not hybrids, like the heirloom varieties or some others. I mean, they'll all grow, and you'll all grow tomatoes, but my experience in past, or where you have rotten tomatoes that fall off or whatever into the soil, I have volunteer tomatoes coming up, kind of like we get volunteer potatoes in the garden.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure of all what you're talking about. If you're actually taking a, you said a half or a quarter tomato, and does he leave those out and plant them after they sit a while?
Yeah, I guess. He's probably somewhere where you can get a lot of homegrown tomatoes and that sort of thing, but it sounds like, you know, he actually probably buys them in the grocery store or somewhere where you get tomatoes that are a little fresher, and then in the spring he just cuts, you know, he just buys a tomato, cuts it, leaves it sit out for a couple of days so some of the juices dry up a little bit, and then he just plants that in a pot on his porch.
Okay.
He claims that they grow. So I was wondering what you know about that method.
I mean, that would result in, like you say, a whole lot of, I mean, tomato has a lot of seeds in it. So that would be really too many seeds in that pot, and whether he thinned them out or not, it'd be hard to, I mean, they need room. You know, the root system of one tomato can certainly fill a 5 gallon pot or 5 gallon bucket. So that's where you would have potentially too many tomatoes in one small area, for one thing. I mean, again, where normally I do start my own tomatoes from seed, and they're pretty easy, really, but I do space them out in the pots, and even there, if I get 3 or 4 tomatoes that survive, usually I'll put 2 or 3 seeds in a pot to start with. I'll either try to gently separate them, or if I've got too many, I'll just snip several off so there isn't that much competition.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the same thing happens with the cucumbers, too. I'll usually plant 2 cucumber seeds per pot. If they both survive, then, again, I'll usually clip off one of those before I plant. I'm even in my greenhouse, I'm spacing them out 18 inches to 2 feet apart. There is just one plant, and I'd want to do the same for seeds. As you mentioned, some place down south or down in California where they get long growing season and more heat than we do, maybe you can get away with that. But I don't know how productive that technique is going to be for us here.
772.
But certainly if you have a good tomato variety, yeah, definitely save seeds from it. And again, what you may want to do there, if you're pretty sure, like the polar baby that I'm growing, or polar beauty, which is an early one, that would be one to save the seed, save the first fruit. Basically, do the selection of your earliest fruit and save that one, even though you want to, you know, we all want to eat our first tomato as soon as we can. But save that first one, and that would be the one to then set aside, and you just literally let it rot. I mean, you mash it in a little jar, or a couple of them, in a jar, let them ferment a bit, and what that helps to break down the liquid and gel stuff, and then the seeds will settle out. And so after, literally, you let them, that you get mold on top of the liquid in this of fermenting tomatoes, essentially, and then you separate that, the liquid and all, from the seeds, and dry the seeds briefly, and then go to plant them.
Do you put them on a paper towel and do it that way, or a plate, or?
Yeah, you can do. Of course, it's kind of tough to get them off the paper towel when they dry.
Yeah.
But actually, even on a piece of saran wrap or something like that, a piece or wax paper will work. And, I mean, I have seen, again, talking about this cutting the tomato, I mean, I have seen some store-bought tomatoes, when you slice through them, that the seeds, sometimes there are seeds which are sprouting. You can see the little roots starting to sprout inside the tomato, and I've seen this with my own at home too, you know, if they get fairly ripe. So that may be the reason why he's doing this. Not sure.
772-3808 is the phone number to call if you want to ask Ed a gardening question. Maybe you have something's not growing right, or you got a strange mold, or just anything. Call us up. We'll take your call. 772-3808. So,
and talking about mold,
yes.
Clean up. Keep cleaning, making sure that greenhouse stays clean. So watch your plants and pinch off or cut off if you're seeing yellowing leaves on lower leaves of plants. Again, just so that we don't get the mold and mildew starting in there and get it out of the greenhouse. Maybe it can go into your compost, but again, away from the greenhouse is the most important part. And you may even need to, if you've got, like I do, too many tomatoes and not enough space, I do start clipping off lower leaves again so I've got that air circulation. If you've got a fan or like a circulating or an oscillating fan that you can put in there to move that air around, really can make a big difference in so that the essentially so that the mold spores that are in the air keep moving. Don't let them settle on a damp leaf in the greenhouse.
Even with the small greenhouses, right? Even with the kind that people put on the side of their garage or little pop-ups, those should also have air circulating too, don't you think?
Oh, sure. If you, you know, if you walk into a greenhouse and you're met with, I mean, it's one thing to be met with the heat of the greenhouse. That's not necessarily bad, although it depends on how hot it is. It hits 110, tomatoes are suffering, not to mention the people who have to work in there. But, yeah, if you can feel the moisture, you know, this really moist heat, that's what we really want to avoid. So, yeah, if you can open up the greenhouse some more, whatever vents you have, if you have fans or that sort of thing, that really makes a big difference. So look at that, and if there's weeds growing, if you've got moss and other stuff growing, clean it up, clean it out, so we get rid of that.
All right. I thought of you last night, Ed, when I was at the grocery store, because I bought everything to make a good caprese salad, and what I didn't have was the homegrown tomatoes. I had what the store had to offer, which, you know, this time of the year is a little bit better. But, yeah, just a really nice mozzarella with some fresh basil and a little olive oil and a little sprinkling of some flavored sea salt. It was delicious. But I thought about you because I know that's one of your kind of dishes. You love those.
Oh,
your tomatoes are the
great.
Best.
And I, too, am looking forward to the first fresh tomato salads along with, you know, fresh oregano and rosemary. And, you know, we've got garlic scapes right now. People should be definitely clipping off their garlic scapes now as they are growing up and curling and uncurling, depending on the variety, how far along they are at this point. I'm going to try to make some fresh of the chimichurri, the parsley and garlic and oregano and rosemary and olive oil maybe tonight to go with our other goodies. So we're certainly looking forward to so much. We've got so much fresh stuff at this point and just more to come. It is a great time of year. I just need some fresh salmon to go with some of this stuff.
Speaking of garlic scapes, Ed, so what happens if a person does not take off the scape from their garlic?
First, you can use that. Okay, if you leave some, and I actually try to, just part of
like
it is...
Like someone forgets, or they don't know.
And identification, too, although I do have them labeled. But if you leave, just say if you've got 50 or 60 bulbs or thousands, like I do, leave a few there. They can help tell you or indicate the harvest time. So if you've got these hardneck garlics, which have put up the scapes, first they come up straight, and then they curl, and then they uncurl again. Well, once they are pretty much finished with their uncurling, which is probably, I would expect it to be late July, that is one of the indicators for harvesting the garlic, as well as looking at the lower leaves of the garlic, which should be turning yellow to brown also. So leaving them on is beneficial in that way, at least a few. But I've read that some folks say if you leave them on there, then that helps them cure better or last longer. I don't know about that. But if you leave them on, they're also using, the plant is using energy to make them mature as another method of reproduction, where we would prefer to have just a larger bulb. You know, it takes away energy from going into the bulb that's underground, which is really what we're growing this stuff for. So then that would be one reason why to take them off, not to mention we're hungry for fresh garlic.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm a believer in removing most of the scapes, leave a few, because they're also an interesting thing in the garden just to watch them grow. too. So I would remove them and, like I said, aim for bigger bulbs for our later enjoyment.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I just thought I'd, you know, thought it'd be nice to mention, like, what would happen if you left them on for folks who've never had garlic planted before and don't really know about that. So that's good to know. And what can we be planting this week in the garden or this weekend? Some people have a three-day weekend coming up, and maybe they thought, oh, I'm going to spend a little time out in the garden and plant. Maybe it's okay to plant some more lettuce. And,
oh, sure, lettuce. Any of the greens, although still too early to plant more spinach and radishes, but any of the greens, certainly. I did just a couple days ago plant some broccoli and lettuce. And some more parsley also, because I want to get another batch. It's my first batch of parsley I put in from plants from the store that I did buy. That stuff is already starting to put up the first of its shoots toward flowering. So it's starting to bolt. So I need to harvest and use that parsley, and that's why I want to start more, at which will then last late into the fall when I have more garlic to make more of the chimichurri, which I will then freeze to keep for the winter. Certainly planting, if your turnips, rutabagas will work well planted now also. I did... A little less than two weeks ago, I did plant more beets and carrots, and they are up and looking promising. They're small compared to my first ones that were planted back in the first week of May. They were eating, thinning some of the beets for beet greens, but there's some beets there that are the size of a quarter or a little larger already. So again, perfect for tossing into salads, you know, briefly wilted, or however you like your beet greens, great. And the peas, you can still, figuring on peas taking 55 to 60 days, so look ahead. So here we're at the end of June, so July, August, end of August, you'd be having new fresh peas. And the old ones that were probably planted back in May or April will be done by that time.
All right, and so right now what I'm seeing are a lot of perennials on sale, and all of those are, it's a great time to plant those because the roots are going to be established before, you know, it gets too cold, so I like to take advantage of those perennials when I see them on sale, too. Are you seeing that around? Well, you have lots of perennials
sure.
at your place.
There's bargains to be had, mm-hmm. and again, you have to... I'm sitting in front of one of the local supermarkets here, and they've got their annuals marked way down. They look pretty tattered. I mean, if they were mine, they'd be compost. I mean, I would compost them at best. But, because a lot of them they've had very irregular to mediocre watering and are in pretty rough shape. But yeah, like you say, perennials have the time to recover and should come back next year. You water them. You may have to clip back the tops a bit when you plant them, but the soil is nice and warm, and everything, you know, whether it be vegetables or flowers or whatever, can certainly be planted at this point. And again, some stuff can be divided. Those things that were flowering earlier in the summer, in the spring, can be divided at this time. And then, like you say, you want to get anything we plant to be well-rooted, something that's going to have to overwinter, trees, shrubs, perennials, all of those, you want them well-rooted before fall. And, you know, we've got months before that happens, whenever it happens.
Okay, that's great. We don't have any callers on the line, and I'm excited to plant a little more lettuce and to get some nice fresh stuff going. Need to do that yet at our house. So we don't run out, and looking forward to hearing all about your tomatoes. We have some tomatoes too. We got some little ones going, so I can't wait to have those as well. Kind of excited. We actually got our. It doesn't look that great, but we got our beds covered to make a little greenhouse this year, and then we'll switch out the plastic and put on some hard plastic or the plastic sheeting, screw that on and then So the next step will be next year, but excited about this year. Sure makes it nicer, doesn't it? When you have that cover.
It is nice. And, yeah, and if it's raining out, you'd be puttering around in the greenhouse.
Sure.
Weeds, planting, and doing other stuff. It's great. And greenhouse is never big enough, it seems like.
I know.
You know, each one, they get bigger and they get bigger or longer so that you can stand up inside helps and work in there. Again, a really easy way to do it that I, you know, chainsaw milled some lumber this past winter, last two winters. And so I've got 4 foot wide boxes. So I've got 2 4-foot wide boxes with a 2 foot path in between, and then 20 foot lengths of PVC pipe, 1 inch PVC pipe, that are the hoops up and over with conduit clips on the outside of the boxes. And then there's a ridge pole down the center. It's all zip tied together with some diagonal pieces in there too. And then cover all of that with the UV resistant visqueen. So it'll last. I'm going to have to come up with some. I'm going to try to leave the cover on it this year, so I'm going to have to support it against winter snowfalls of whatever we get. But it's really easy, and that's just about the right height, so or in the length with the 20-foot pieces to cover it at its 6.5 or 7 feet high in the center. Very comfortable to work in, and the ends are open. The ends are not enclosed. So again, to keep that air circulation, and I'm just practicing and playing with planting different stuff in there. Some greenhouse stuff, some open, you know, there's Swiss chard and broccoli and cauliflower in there, and carrots, beets. There's a few tomato plants, there's a few squash plants. There is a little bit of everything in there.
Uh-huh.
Just seeing what I can grow and how much. Again, I have to water it, but that's okay. I am more in control than Mother Nature is, and sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, yep. Well, I sure would love to be able to come up and see how your garden looks since it was on the garden tour. And I heard rumors that our school gardener here, Christine, was up at the garden tour. Did you see her up there?
She did.
She stop by?
Yep, she did.
Great.
Yeah, I happened to run into her in town, I think, on Friday before, and said hello, and she said she was in town, I guess, just for a few days away from sunny Petersburg, and she did. She and her husband came out, and it sounds like she enjoyed things, and she went home with a few plants from Juno.
Oh, great, great. And for folks listening, I do have Ed's phone number here if you're heading up that way and want to stop by and see Ed, get his autograph. And
yeah, right.
Well, yeah, you're going to be famous here soon.
Selfie with me, whatever. Yeah, right, sure. Okay.
And anyway, I have his number, and you can stop by and see Ed and all of his gardens and perennials and everything he does up there. So great. And I think that's what I wanted to mention. I wanted to mention to people that they can go up and visit you, and you love to see visitors.
Sure. Oh, I enjoy. Oh, sure. I'm not very humble. I'm not very shy about showing off my garden. So happy to have people come and visit.
Great. Great. Okay. Well, Ed, we'll let you back to gardening, and then we'll be talking to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Have a great day.
Yep, you too, and have a good weekend.
All right, yeah, happy 4th.
Yep, same to you. Bye-bye.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a heart. When you plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me up this homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What life be without home?
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm with lots and lots of colorful dahlias for summer bouquets, including subscriptions for never-ending color. Bedding plant season has come to an end, but there's still plenty of plants around at the Flower Farm. Open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. That's for sure.
sure, but it's nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy.
Thanks for joining us today for In the Garden. We'll be back next week with Master Gardener Ed Byarski, gardening tips, and you too can call in and ask your gardening questions. 772-3808, that's the number. Until then, have a great weekend. Have a good time out in the garden. Coming up next, some high country music until 4 o'clock on KFSK when we bring you All Things Considered and then a KFSK news update at 4:30.
Tomato seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, what'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.